Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hallelujah! Glory to God. Y'all can be seated. Praise God. Awesome to be back with you guys, our family here. We've been here so many times, I lost count, but it's just awesome to be back with our family. I recognize a lot of faces. Then again, you've grown since we've been here, so some of you I don't know. Let me see your hands if you've never heard us minister before. Real quick, let me see your hands. So all you have that have your hands up, we've been coming to this church longer than you have. But it's such an honor. We just love your pastors. Pastor mentioned going on vacation with them. We did that a couple different times. And we've known, gosh, when we first started preaching here, I think Ryan and Rachel were like 3 years old. We're not that old. We must have really been young when we had them, yeah. How many got your expectors on? Well, for those of you that don't know us, real quick, and I brought a few things up to give away, so I'm going to give away a few things real quick. But I'm from Florida, born and raised in Tampa, Florida, a beach bum, you know, love the beach. And my wife's from Colorado, so I couldn't find a beach bunny, so I went to find a snow bunny. And found a snow bunny, and we got married and just celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary. She's my best friend. Love her to life. So thankful for her. Praise God. So that tells you a little bit about us. We've been moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma many years ago and traveled with the late Kenneth E. Hagin for 20 years and just been all over the world ministering the gospel. And it's just always such an honor when you get to go to a church where you feel like you're home. And so thank you guys for making us feel that way. Already the few people that I have gotten to bump into since we've been here have made us feel like we're home. Just want to mention a few things back at our resource table real quick. Of course, we are ministering on the subject of healing tonight. And how many of you have the Heaven's Health Food CD? Let me see your hands. I know a few of you do out there. This is our number one seller all over the world. It's not a preaching or teaching thing at all. All I do is just quote scripture, but God told me to do it different. He said, I want you to take a healing scripture and a health scripture out of the Bible and quote it from many translations before you go to another verse. And so I do that, and it's amazing when you hear a verse of scripture said 9 different ways or 10 different ways or 7 different ways, it just gets in you. So we've had people healed of brain cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, lymphatic cancer. All kinds of cancers we've had people heal just listing that. We've even had a couple of people literally raised from the dead. They were in comas in the hospital, brain dead according to medical science, and we played the CDs in their room for like what was the one was 7 days, and they came out of the coma completely healed by the power of God. So it's so exciting. So that's Heaven's Health Food. Who'd like to have this one real quick? Let me see. I see your hand right back there, sir. All right, let's see how good of a catch you are. Watch out, I'm going to throw it to him. He's probably better. that was my bad throw there. Bad throw. Now, if you like scripture CDs, my most favorite one of all that I recommend all over the world is He Was, I Am, is the teaching part of it, because there's a lot that God has to say about who you are in Him and what you already have in Him and what you can do in Him. And we've noticed no matter what country we go to in the world, this is the most lacking knowledge. And yet when people get this, it's the most liberating knowledge in the Bible, just finding out who God says you are, what God says you have, what God says you can do. And so we have the In Him scriptures that is just like the health scriptures, except it's scriptures on who you are, what you have, what you can do. And then the teaching, if you like to get the teaching, you like to listen to the Word of God, then it's a 5 CD series called He Was, I Am. So let me give those two away. Let's see, who's got, her right here, up close. Yeah, you can hand that to her before I fall down. Amen. And then I don't know how many of you got to see me on Sid Roth interview a couple years ago, and Sid interviewed me on an experience I had with the Lord. The Lord came to me and He said, I'm going to teach you in my word how to walk free from depression or stress or bad temper, anger problems, worry, depression, hurt feelings, all those negative emotions that control people. And the Lord showed me how to do that, and I've been doing it now for a number of years, and it is so fun walking free from all of those things. I found out that I don't have to let my feelings tell me how I feel. I can control my feelings with the word of truth. And so that's what the book and the CD series is. And let's see, who do I, there, right up front here we go. All right, there you go. Sometimes it does pay to sit on the front row, doesn't it? But if you want the book, it's called Internal Affairs, Emotional Stability from an Unstable World. And then the CD series is Free From Me. You need to be free from yourself if you're going to walk free emotionally. And then my newest financial freedom seminar, we do financial freedom seminars all over, and this is the newest one. It's called Heaven's Transfer System. This is what Liz and I have used to get our ministry debt free, what we did to pay off our home, get our personal lives debt free. We have no debt in our lives, ministry or personally. And these are the principles that we've used out of God's word to do that. And so we encourage people to get the truth because truth makes you free. Who'd like to have that? Right over there, that girl. All right. And then the last one, great peace. I'll mention this real quick. I took a lady, she's a world-class musician, plays a lot of different instruments. Took her into the studio and I said, sit down at the keyboard. I said, begin worshiping God on the keyboards and I'm going to give you two stipulations. Number one, don't play anything you know. Don't want you playing out of your head. I want you out of your heart playing. But before you start playing, I'm going to start quoting the Bible, quoting scriptures. And when you hear me start quoting scriptures, then begin playing to the Lord. I quoted scriptures for an hour and 20 minutes. She played for an hour and 20 minutes. It's one of the most peaceful instrumental CDs you will ever listen to. It's just awesome, amazing. It's called Great Peace. And I saw that hand, that brother way back there. Yeah, you with the two hands up. Yeah, we'll get it to you. Praise God. Amen. That's awesome. All right. Y'all ready? Yes, sir. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for utterance in the Holy Ghost. Y'all believe with me, right? Thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord God. We're going to speak the oracles of heaven. It's going to be written on our hearts, and so we can walk out of here like epistles seen and read of men, Father. We're going to have our lives changed from faith to faith and glory to glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Amen. And they said, so be it. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to a familiar verse with a lot of people. It's verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So salvation is a gift from God, and faith receives it, and grace gives it. So God's grace is what saves us. If you ever look up this Greek word, you know it's talking about a benefit and a gift and a favor of God that has nothing to do with your merits or your abilities or your good works or your lack thereof, all based on what Jesus did at Calvary. For by grace are you saved. Now look up the word saved. And if you're a student, you've studied this word out. It's the Greek word sozo. The word saved means saved, delivered, preserved, protected, healed, made whole. So when I saw that, I realized that salvation is a complete package. It's not just saved from sin, but it's saved from every curse that came in as the result of Adam's fall. God said, by grace, by his favor, based on everything he did and nothing on what we did, by grace you are saved, and that is received through faith. And even that faith God gave you, right? God's dealt to every man the measure of faith, the Bible said. I was studying that out in Romans 12, 3. God dealt to every man the measure of faith. The word the is the Greek word metron, and it's a specific measure. So when he says God's given everyone the measure of faith, it's a measure, but it's a specific meaning. God doesn't give you one measure and me another and somebody else another and somebody else another. And that's important because I remember when I was growing up and I had an incurable disease in my body the first 22 years of my life, I hadn't come to a church like this one yet. I didn't know Jesus was still the healer today. And when I heard about somebody getting healed on their faith, I thought, man, I wish I could have that kind of faith. I didn't know that God has given us all the same measure, a measure that's enough measure to receive the greatest thing, and that's salvation from sin, which then affords every other blessing of heaven. Any of y'all ever hear this great man of God before he went to heaven by the name of T.L. Osborne? But you ever hear, some of y'all heard him? He was a great evangelist, had massive crusades with hundreds of thousands of people. And I mean, blind eyes open, people that were totally crippled, quadriplegic, just come out of wheelchairs and be made whole. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But he gave this definition one time of salvation. And if you ever heard T.L. speak, you know, it was like every word he spoke had power to it. It was like, I mean, he could get up and say, God loves you. And you'd go, yes, he does. It's just, his words just had power, you know. And he said this one time, he said, salvation is the sum total of all the blessings of God bestowed on man by God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's the sum total of all the blessings of God bestowed on man by God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. So I found out there's a whole package. See, when I was sick all those years, people told me that God made me sick to teach me something. People told me God allowed the sickness in my body so to humble me or to get my attention or somehow to deepen my spiritual walk with Him. I didn't know why I was sick. I just knew that according to what people said, God was a big ogre sitting up in heaven ready to put it on you. And he put it on me and I was mad at him. I ran from God for years until I heard he was good. Until I found out he came to the cross, and when he was on the cross, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. When he did, every curse he took for us. He took all sickness, all disease, all physical pain. He took it all and he did it as our substitute. And so years ago, I received that healing the same way by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Through faith. The same way I received grace, salvation from sin is the same way I received salvation from sickness. Same way, by faith, and it was through grace. So I knew that God's grace provided it, which means I'm not going to get caught up on was I good enough to be healed? Did I do enough good things? Do I merit my healing? Or did Jesus pay the ultimate price for me and I can receive it by faith? I'm so glad I learned I could do that. For by grace are you saved from sin through faith. For by grace are you saved from sickness through faith. In fact, I'll just give a testimony. I mean, you know, obviously, if it's by grace, it all points back to Calvary, the finished work of Jesus, what Jesus did at the cross for me. And once I found out that Jesus bore my sins, regardless of how I've acted or done or not done, I received him as Savior and he made me righteous. Nothing that I did made me righteous. He made me righteous by receiving him. You see? So when I realized, well, wait a minute, that's the way I got saved from sin, that's the way I'm going to have to get saved from sickness, is understand he already became sin and gave me his righteousness, and he already became sickness on the cross. He became disease on the cross. He became physical pain on the cross for me so that I could be liberated physically. And that's how I got, in fact, that's how I got healed. About a little over a year ago, I started getting some really bad pain behind my knee. And I mean, like if I sat down just for, 60 seconds or something, all of a sudden it would start getting stiff. And I didn't know what was going on. I just knew, you know what? Jesus bore my sickness back at Calvary. And so I started talking to the pain. I didn't know what was causing it. Whether it was Mr. Arthur or any other kind of itis, something was coming on me and it was attacking me. And you know, I'm always in the gym and I'm always doing things, so I like to be physically free, you know, and I knew that Jesus bore it at the cross for me so I don't have to bear it. He didn't bear my sin and expect me to bear my sin. So he didn't bear my sickness and expect me to bear it. So I knew that I don't have to bear this. And so I remember standing and speaking against that pain, saying, listen, pain, you're not my sickness. Jesus bore my sickness on the cross, so you can't stay. You're going to have to go. I am healed. You're not changing what I would talk to it, man. I said, I was talking to the pain, the sickness, whatever it was attacking my bones. I could feel it in the bones. I said, you're going to have to leave because you're not mine. I do not give you permission. I know you're real. I know it's a fact. I know it's real, but it's not truth. There is a difference from facts, realities, and truth. Truth can't change. Truth never changes. But facts and realities are subject to change. So my faith wasn't denying reality. My faith was changing reality. So I started speaking to that, said, no, you can't stay. And it kept getting worse and kept getting worse. A couple weeks later, it was getting worse and worse. A couple weeks later, I was laying in bed one night, shared with my wife the next morning. I hardly got any sleep all night because now the pain went from just the knee area behind the knee and in the bone. And it started shooting up the bone in the thigh. And then I could feel the pain shooting down the bone in the lower leg. And just to show you, I'm just as human as you are. I hear the same devil telling the same lies. When all that pain started spreading up and down the bone in my leg and I couldn't sleep all night for the pain, the devil jumps on my shoulder and says, see, now you've waited too long to go to the doctor. If you'd have gone a few weeks back before that bone cancer spread in your bones all over, you wouldn't have to have your leg amputated, but now you're gonna have to have your leg amputated. You know why we're all laughing? Because we've heard the same stupid voice, right? Telling us lies as soon as we feel a little lump. Oh my God, cancer. You know, as soon as we see anything, feel anything, the devil wants to try and get us into doubt and unbelief. But when he did that, I got out of bed and the next morning I got even more stern with that pain. I said, no, you cannot change what I am. I know what I am. The written scripture says, by his stripe, blow, bruise, I am healed. You're not changing what I am. I am healed and you can't change that. So you gotta go. And the next night was worse. When you've done all to stand, you continue to stand. You don't quit, you don't back down. When you know truth, truth will never forsake you. It'll never fail you if you don't let go of it. And so I remember for a couple more weeks, I fought against that pain. It was aggravating because, you know, I couldn't, when I went to the gym, I couldn't do my leg squats, couldn't do certain things, but I'm telling you what, I wasn't backing down. I said, you are not staying in my body. Jesus bore this. His grace has already given this to me. My faith has taken all the, I am healed. And I remember the morning when all of a sudden all the pain left my leg and Liz was out in the family room and I ran out and I said, honey, it's gone. That's because my faith wasn't based on, well, you know, gosh, I don't know if I've read the Bible enough and I don't know if I've prayed enough and all. Maybe I haven't been nice to my wife enough and I don't know, maybe I don't know if I'm good enough to be healed. No, I don't think any of us are. But thank God because of what Jesus made us. When we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, he made us right with God. Then he made us good enough. From a natural standpoint, none of us are good enough. Our righteousness, our works are as filthy rags. But thank God Jesus did it all for us. That's why he's called the last Adam. We don't need another. The first Adam messed it up. The last Adam fixed it up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let me just show you a couple passages real quick. This is gonna bless you tonight because I started seeing that this faith that it takes to take hold of salvation from sin, salvation from sickness, salvation from injury, salvation from turmoil, mental turmoil, salvation from any curse. I found out that just like any person can use faith to receive salvation from sin, any person can use faith to receive salvation from sickness because one person doesn't have more faith than another person. No, God's given every one of us enough measure to receive everything he's done. Isn't that good news? All right, so go with me over, first of all, to Matthew 15, Matthew chapter 15. And this is really gonna bless you tonight. Matthew chapter 15, there's a story of a woman that comes to Jesus. Her daughter had been demon possessed and was really messing her daughter up. And this lady needed a miracle. She needed healing power to flow into her daughter. So she went and sought Jesus. Now this story is also found in Mark chapter 7. In fact, Mark's gospel says she was Syrophoenician of that nation and that she was a Greek lady. But Matthew doesn't point that out. Let's just read Matthew 15:21 here. We'll start reading there. It says, Jesus went out from where he was and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, well, I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, woman, you don't have enough faith. Is that what he said to her? Woman, great is your faith. Woman, great is your faith. Woman, everybody say it. Great is your faith. And her daughter, let it be to you as you desire, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here's a woman, a Greek woman, that obviously heard of Jesus, or she would not have come and been so tenacious, right? Because I want you to see the strikes that came against her. First of all, when she came to Jesus and cried out in verse 22, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter's demon-possessed. She's sick. She's a mess. Verse 23, Jesus didn't even respond to her. So imagine you come to church and you come up to Pastor John. John, help me. And he doesn't even respond. Well, how rude. Who do you think you are? Not talking to me. Well, I mean, this woman could have gotten her feelings hurt right there and turned around and all offended and gone home and said, well, the heck with you, right? Could have, but she didn't. Obviously, by what it goes on to say, she turned to the disciples, because notice what happened when Jesus didn't answer her. His disciples came to Jesus and said, send her away, for she what? Cries after us. So in other words, after she went to Jesus and got no response, she turned to the disciples. Well, guess what? They're his followers. They're his disciples. They're the ones that he's been training. So she's thinking, okay, if you don't want to help me, then I'm going to get help from your team here. And lo and behold, when she turns and cries to them, which obviously she must have been saying, my daughter's tormented, I need healing power, please help me. They turn to Jesus, and what do they say to Jesus? They say, tell her to get lost. Boy, that would boost your confidence, wouldn't it? Came to get healing and turned to the main preacher. He wouldn't even talk to me. Turned to the ones he trains and they tell me to get lost. Not looking good. Two strikes already. She still doesn't give up. So evidently, whatever she heard enough to give her a confidence that God was no respecter of persons. Maybe somebody came to her that had been in one of Jesus's meetings and they said, hey, you know what this Jesus guy said? She said, no, what? They said, well, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. And this lady probably thought, well, I'm an all. I qualify. Maybe somebody else came to her and they came and said, do you know what? I just came from one of those Jesus freak meetings, you know? And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if any man hear my voice, let him come. She thinks, well, I'm an any. She's qualifying all every time she hears something about Jesus. Evidently, she heard those kind of things because she didn't quit when strike one, strike two. And then she turns back to Jesus. Let's see what happens. She turns back to Jesus and cries out again. He answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, now she's getting to hear Jesus, the top dog preacher again. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Which is why Jesus came. He was sent to the Jews. Then later on, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. So Jesus was on a mission to help the Jews. And so imagine if you were the woman and you realize, well, I'm not Jewish. That sounds like three strikes. But she continued to press in. Verse 25, she worshiped him, saying, Lord. You know what the word Lord means in the Greek language? It means controller. I am yielding to you to control my life. I'm yielding to your control. I'm calling you, Lord. And she worshiped him. But look what happened. Jesus answered. Already has three strikes. Aren't you out in three? He answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, let me just help those of you out that are born again. You've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are the children he's talking about. Yeah. If you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You are a child of God, the Apostle Paul said, by faith in Jesus. So the bread, the healing bread for your physical body belongs to you as a child of God. But this woman wasn't a child of God. She was Syrophoenician. She was from the land of Canaan. And so Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And so he classified her as an outcast, as like a dog in society, the lowest part of humanity, not worthy. That somehow sparked her faith even more. This woman was so determined. She wasn't taking no for an answer. She wasn't going home without healing power. She heard about Jesus and she's not letting it go. So when Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, calling her a dog, she said, I just got your word there. You called me a dog. Give me the dog's portion. You're the one that called me a dog. I want the dog's portion. Just give me a dog because I know a crumb off of the table of the master is enough to set my daughter free. Yeah. Yeah, and guess what? That very hour, her daughter was healed. But what did Jesus say in verse 28? Woman, great is your what? And how do you take hold of saving grace? By faith. Wow. Here's a woman, first time going to a Jesus meeting, obviously heard about him or she would have never come, but first time going to a Jesus meeting, she had never gotten one of my scripture CDs to build her faith. You know, she hadn't been to, you know, Oral Roberts Healing Crusade or a Kenneth Hagin or you know, the late Smith Wiggles. She hadn't been to any of those things. She hadn't been to a Bible school to build her faith. So there must be something about great faith that is attainable for every single child of God. And it can't be hard. Because this woman comes and she just doesn't quit. She doesn't give up. She's not going to let go. And Jesus said, your faith, great is your faith. You know, I think anytime Jesus says something and it's written in red, we ought to pay attention, right? Great is your faith. This woman took hold of the healing power of God. Listen, I've heard people say, well, you know, if Jesus would just appear to me, I could be healed. Or, you know, if Jesus would lay hands on me or something. No, wait a minute. Jesus, first of all, Jesus did not go looking for this woman. She came looking for him. Secondly, Jesus never laid hands on her or her daughter. Woman didn't stand in proxy. Jesus didn't go to her house and cast out the devils. This woman simply took the word of God and said, I'm not letting go. I'm taking hold of the healing power of God for my daughter. And Jesus said, all right, man, you're gonna act like this. You got great faith. So then that proved to me that great faith had nothing to do with quantity, but all with quality. Turn with me over to Matthew, the 8th chapter, Matthew chapter 8. Is anybody getting anything? By grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved. By what Jesus did and his favor toward you, you're saved. You're saved from sin. You're saved from sickness. Well, Matthew chapter 8, we're going to see another story here real quick. Verse 5 says, when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, this is Matthew 8:5, Jesus had entered into Capernaum, which is where he lived when he got booted out of Nazareth. If you've ever read that story, after he preached his famous sermon, he got kicked out of Nazareth and moved to Capernaum. And I don't know if he built a house or bought a house. The scriptures keep talking about him going in the house and out of the house. So he had a house there in Capernaum. And so he was traveling in and out of Capernaum. But this centurion came pleading with him, saying, verse 6, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and dreadfully tormented." So get a hold of this. Physically, he's paralyzed. It does not tell us what caused the paralysis, whether he was born this way or had some kind of accident, a camel ran over him or something, I don't know. But something happened to him and he's paralyzed and he's dreadfully tormented, which means there's a lot going on here in the emotional realm. And Jesus immediately in verse 7 said, "I'll come and heal him," without hesitation. "I'll come and heal." Now, wait a minute. Remember what Jesus said. He only said what he heard his father. Oh, so that was God talking. God letting him know, "Well, I'll come and heal him. I'll heal him for you." It must be God's will to heal everybody, because every single sick person that came to Jesus in the four Gospels, none of them Jesus said, "I won't." Not once. Out of the multitudes that we can read about, he never said, "Yeah, it's not your time." He never said, "Yeah, you're not good enough." He never said, "Well, my father put this on you to teach you and you haven't learned yet." He never said to a single one of them, "No, you know, there's some reason that you can't be healed, and so you're just going to have to, you know, you're going to just have to bear your cross." Jesus didn't tell one single person that. I've gone through every single incident of people healed in the four Gospels, read every single incident, and Jesus never turned a one of them away. He always healed them all. Is he the same yesterday and the day we're living in right now, and then tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? Same yesterday, today, and forever? He absolutely is. Hebrews 13:8 says so. So he says, "I'll come and heal him." Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Now, what some people have done, they haven't understood what the man said, and so they try and apply everything he said to their own lives. And so they get this false humility and say, "Jesus, I'm so unworthy," thinking that's going to get them healed. Well, the centurion got healing for his servant by saying, "I'm unworthy, so I'll just say I'm unworthy." Here's the deal. The centurion had to say that because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't shed his blood yet. He hadn't risen from the dead yet. He had not taken his blood into the Holy of Holies and obtained an eternal redemption for all of humanity. He hadn't done that yet. So prior to that, man was not worthy. But when you have accepted the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and it's made you worthy, you should never, ever say you're not worthy. God's blood made you worthy. Yeah. God made you worthy. He sees you in him. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ellie, where's Ellie? Where's Ellie at? Is she here? She's way up there. I'm talking about this sweet girl up here. Ellie, give her a hand. I'll tell you what, you bless me tonight, girl. When she's up here dancing for Jesus and getting excited about Jesus, I'm going, glory to God, hallelujah. I love it when people get happy in him because of what he's done for us. He's done so much for us. I heard about a big ogre sitting up in heaven with a big baseball bat ready to smack me when I missed it growing up about God. Then I found out, no, my God is good and he's good all the time. And he came to bring us peace and bring us joy and bring us health and bring us wealth and bring us goodness and bring us love. He wants us blessed in every realm. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. So this centurion, when he said, "I'm not worthy," is because he wasn't worthy. He couldn't be born again yet and be made righteous with God. But if you've accepted Jesus, you are right with God. You are worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so we don't say that we're unworthy like he did, but notice what he did say. He went on to give us a clue to great faith because he said, I'm a man under authority in verse 9, having soldiers unto me, I say this, go, and he goes and to another come, and he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard what he said, he marveled. Everybody say, Jesus marveled. Now, friends, anytime we see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, marveling, we ought to pay attention. If this got his attention, it needs to get our attention. And he marveled and said to them that followed, I've not found this great a faith in the whole nation of Israel. What kind of faith? Great faith. Everybody say, great faith. Isn't that what we just saw, that Syrophoenician, that woman of Canaan? Isn't that what Jesus said about her? Woman, great is your faith. And now here he is telling a centurion. He's saying, this kind of faith that you're operating in, I've not seen the Jewish people operating in. And then he says in verse 13, go your way and as you have believed. Go your way and as you have believed. Go your way and as you have believed. He didn't say, go your way and because I'm the divine Son of God. No, I didn't say that. He didn't say, go your way and because I'm going to release my faith, your servant's going to be. No. He said, go your way and as you have believed. Another translation says, according to your faith. Another translation says, whatever you're believing is going to come to pass. That's what happened with my grandmother when she was 75 years old and dying of terminal cancer. The doctors gave her about 6 months to live. She came down to a city in Florida called Winter Haven, Florida, not far from Orlando, it's where the famous Cypress Gardens water skiers are, if you ever saw that in years gone by. But my grandmother came to that meeting, and I was part of the meeting, and I wasn't teaching at that meeting. The late Kenneth E. Hagin was teaching on this same subject of healing that I'm teaching on tonight. And my grandmother came, and she sat through 3 days of teaching and heard what the Bible said concerning what Jesus did at the cross for her physical health. And found out that when Jesus was on the cross, he bore her sickness. So my 75-year-old grandmother that's supposed to have 6 months to live or less comes up to me and said, guess what? I said, what? She said, I don't even have to get in the healing line now. Because we were planning on having a healing line at the end of the week, you know. I said, why don't you need to get in the healing line? She said, I'm already healed. I said, well, Grandma, how do you know you're healed? And man, the first 3 words came out of her mouth almost set my feet to run, and I wanted to take off right there. When I said, how do you know you're healed? She says, it is written. And she said it with attitude. She said, it is written. Jesus, and she quoted Matthew 8:17, Jesus bore my sicknesses. And then with attitude, she said, no use both of us bearing them. Yeah, hallelujah. And less than 24 hours later, all the cancer began to disappear within 3 complete days. Hundreds of people witnessed, thousands actually there at the meeting. Within 3 days, all the cancer was completely gone. She lived from 75 to 95 years old. So I kept seeing this common thread to people that were operating great faith. It wasn't because they had saturated themselves for many, many years in the Bible and the scriptures and the word and gone to Larry Hutton meetings or John Nuzzo meetings or whoever's meeting. No, it's people that took a hold of one truth and latched onto it like a bulldog on a new bone and wouldn't let go of it. That's what happened to this centurion. He said, Jesus, notice what he said, speak, verse 8, speak the word. Only speak a word. only. King James says, speak the word only. In other words, this guy was saying, all I want to hear is a word from you, a word from God. I already know what the doctors say. I already know what everybody else says. I already know what the symptoms. Listen, my servant's grievously tormented. I hear him. I hear, I see, I know, I understand. But I don't want any of that knowledge now. All I want is truth. You only speak truth, so I want a word from you. And then he explains why he could be so emphatic, why he could be so confident that his servant would be healed if he got a word from Jesus. He goes on the next verse, and this is one of the best explanations of great faith in the Bible. Look what he says, 4, verse 9, I also, just like you, Jesus, I also am a man under authority. So he's saying that Jesus has authority, and that he's submitting to Jesus' authority. But he said, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to one, go. And he what? And he does what my word said. He brings to pass. It gets completed because my servant is submitted to my authority. So when my word goes out of my mouth and I say, go, that's what comes to pass. Then he said, and I say to another, come. And the word that I spoke happens because they're submitted to my authority. And then I say to another, do this. And what I say, my word always, without fail, always comes to pass. And now, Jesus, because I understand that authority, I understand how when they submit to me, my word comes to pass. I am now submitting to your word. It will come to pass. And Jesus marveled and said, I've not found this great a faith in the whole nation of Israel. Amen. Jesus told us great faith was nothing more than simple, childlike faith. Wow, simple, childlike faith. I remember when I was 3 or 4 years old and we had moved from the city out to the country. My parents had bought some property right on this beautiful lake, and my dad had built a dock, and he's standing down in, I don't know, 6 feet of water or something, and I'm just a little tyke, you know, standing up on the dock and hadn't learned to swim yet. My dad's down in 5 or 6 feet of water, and he looks up at me and says, Larry, jump and I'll catch you. What do you think I did as a little 3, 4-year-old boy? Do you think I stood up there and started thinking? You know, I know my daddy means well, but what if I jump and somehow I slip through his arms and he doesn't catch me, man? I don't know how to swim. I'm all drowned. You think I thought that? Do you think I thought, well, now, what if I jump and my daddy goes, just kidding. Do you think I thought that? Do you think I thought, you know, I know my daddy is able to catch me, but I just don't know if it's his will. I didn't think any of those things. You know what I did when daddy said, Larry, jump and I'll catch you? Without thinking. Why? Because I knew my daddy's word was good. I knew my daddy's word would come to pass if I just acted on it. If I just simply believed, simple, childlike faith, and said, God, you said, then it would come to pass. That's how I got healed in my body of incurable disease. That's how my grandmother got healed. That's how I watched a quadriplegic in Birmingham, Alabama that had hands laid on him. I was there, Liz was there, and we watched hands laid on him. He had been a quadriplegic for 15 years, had no muscles in his legs or body at all, just skin and bones. And all of a sudden, we watch him get out of that wheelchair, totally healed by the power of God, and walk across the platform. And later on, I got to speak to him personally because he happened to be staying at the same hotel I was, and we happened to get on the elevator at the same together. And you know, he was so excited that here he was. He hadn't taken a step in 15 years. He was a quadriplegic. But all of a sudden, the power of God healed him because he believed the moment hands are laid on me, I'm getting out of this wheelchair. The moment hands are touched, I'm going to be healed. That moment, I'm receiving it right there. I was healed nearly 2,000 years ago on the cross, but I'm receiving it tonight, not letting it go. And that simple childlike faith took hold of us. So I was in the elevator, and you know what he did? He pulled up his pants leg and showed me where he had no muscle, and muscle had already formed on his bones. That's not just healing, folks. That's miraculous stuff going on. So I want to encourage you tonight. This can stir us up. Those of us that are maybe walking in health, we still get attacked. I mean, the Bible said, God's prayer in 3 John, he said, I pray above all things that you'd prosper and be in health. Why? Because our finances and our health are going to continually be attacked in this life. The devil doesn't want you to have money, and he doesn't want you to have health. If he can put you in a hospital bed and take all your money, he'll render you ineffective in the kingdom of God. But we don't have to accept what the devil's done, because he's been whipped, stripped, and defeated. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. So here's what I want you, what I want us to do real quick. I'm going to be praying for people. My wife and I are going to lay hands on people here in a few moments. But real quick, every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, if you're here tonight, maybe everybody's a child of God. That's awesome if you are. But if there's somebody that slipped in tonight and you'd say, you know, I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. I've never accepted him as my Lord and Savior, but I would like to. I hear he's good. Man, I didn't know he was good. I was like you. I thought he was bad. No, Jesus is always good. He's always a healer. He's always a financier. He's always a miracle worker. He's always a peace giver, a joy giver, a love giver. He's always good. So if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus, but you would like to, simply lift your hand up high enough in the air that I can see it. I want to pray for you tonight. I'm going to look slowly across the congregation. So if you want to accept Jesus tonight, thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. You can put it down. If you want me to pray for you, I'm not going to ask you to come down here, but I do want to know who I'm praying for. So make sure you keep it up till I see it so I know who I'm praying for. If you want to accept Jesus tonight, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So you don't even have to wait. God says today's your day. You can get saved right now because it's not based on what you have or haven't done. Praise God. It's all based on what Jesus did for you. Is there any other hands? I've seen the one so far. Any other hands? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any other hands? Oh, thank you over there, sir. God bless you. You can put it down. I couldn't tell if that was a kid or an adult or a woman or a man, but they lifted their hands, so I acknowledge it. Praise God. Anybody else? Any other hands? Oh, thank you. Praise God. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. That's three that want to get born again. You want to get saved. I'm telling you what, you're going to be so thrilled. You're going to be able to look back on this day and say, man, that was a life changer. I mean, you may have not even wanted to come to church tonight. I don't know, but you came. God brought you here, and now you're going to, life is going to be transformed for eternity. Praise God. Is there anyone else? I see another hand. Someone else is raising a hand over here. We're at over here. Right here. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Yes, that's awesome. Oh, thank you, sir. God bless you. Put it down. That's awesome. All right. Oh, I remember the day I did this. I'm already getting excited for you guys. I remember the day that I did this, made Jesus my Lord and Savior. And whoo, man, then he became my healer. I got healed of the incurable disease. And then he became my peace and joy. And now I don't have any emotional problems, no more stress, no more worries, no more depression, discouragement, no more bad temper. I'm telling you, it's just so fun walking with Jesus. Is there anyone else? I want to look again in case I've missed anybody else. Anybody else? We're going to be praying for these that just lifted their hand. Is there another hand up here? Oh, yes, I see your hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Oh, this is awesome. You know what the Bible says? Everybody look up. Lift up your head and open your eyes because I'm going to pray for these that just lift their hand. You know what the Bible said when just one person gets born again? When one person says what we call the sinner's prayer. When one person accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Bible said the angels in heaven throw a party. Isn't that cool? I mean, think of all the parties that are going to take place in heaven tonight, all these people that raise their hand. So let's pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every one of these that have lifted their hands. Lord God, you said whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. You didn't say who's ever good enough. You said if we call. Well, obviously, if we call on Jesus, we must believe he was raised from the dead, because we're calling on him. We must believe he's alive. And you said that simple call, believing Jesus was raised from the dead, would get us saved. So everybody in this place say, Jesus, I call on you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for dying for me and taking all my sins. I now accept your righteousness. From this day forward, I'm in right standing with God. God is not mad at me. He's not holding up or counting up my sins against me. I am now free in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo!
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.